Man, how many of y'all are glad to be in the presence of the Lord today, that He's just embracing this place? Man, it's nice to be back, and it's great to see every one of you. When we were in revival, you had a pad of dirt, and now God has lifted up a building. And today, I just want to say, continue on in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, man, I love your pastor, but I love you all as a church. I'm very privileged today to have my wife traveling with me, and she's really the one. And so I know some of y'all wonder, well, I wonder if you're going to say the stuff that you said when you were down here last time with her being here. Yeah, I will. Here's the deal, guys. You all are fixing to expand your ability to reach 27,000 people who do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in Graves County. How many of y'all are ready to be committed to making sure? And here's all you can do. Okay, let's get theologically correct. Here's all you can do. Tell them. You can't save them. But you can tell them. Amen. And you got to tell them and tell them and tell them over and over and over again. How many of y'all glad to know you tell somebody long enough, eventually they might get it. Eventually they might say, wait a minute, Jesus is Lord. Eventually they might say, wait a minute, He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Right. So church, we're going to talk about today that, you know what, over the last 10 years, what got you here is going to take you the rest of the way. I love y'all's church for one reason. Y'all are focused on Jesus. Now, I want to give you some warnings. I want to give you some heads up, okay? The devil lurks. Does somebody hear what I'm saying? The devil lurks. Boy, this would be tragic, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be tragic if his house walked down the hall, moved into a new building, and got churched up? Y'all know how disappointed I'd be in y'all. Y'all know how gross that would be. I mean, that'd be so gross because y'all already got churches in Mayfield. Don't y'all have big buildings in Mayfield? They got a lot of seats. And they give you 3 points in a prayer. And they get you out before 12. Good 45 minutes with some religion. But then there's this crazy place that God exploded in 10 years ago in a horse barn of all places. God looked at a horse barn and said, I believe I'll have a church there. And I believe, guess what? I believe I'll have a church according to me and not according to them. Now, I want to give you a heads up. Don't go back there. If you don't mind, just tell your neighbor, we're not going back there. Come on, just go ahead and tell them. Come on. Oh, that's weak. Tell them you're not going back there. Tell your neighbor, I'm not going back there. I'm not going back. The pastor really needs to hear that. And Chad, I've given you heads up. Don't get consumed by that building. Guess what it is? A building. That's all it is. It's a building. You can walk in there and not get saved. You can walk in the building won't save you. You can walk in there and it won't give you new sight. You walk in there, you won't get a new life. It is who is in there that changes everything. His name is Jesus. And I'm excited that you all have been open to welcoming people to Jesus for the past 10 years. For the past 10 years. Now, does anybody know what the most important part of the building is? Most important part of the building. No, you're not. You think you are, but you're not. That's some messed up theology. I know you learned that in Sunday school. Some of y'all went to Baptist church and they lied to you. This ain't the only thing they lied to you about. I mean, we were little kids and you know, we made our little church, right? And we opened it up and we went like, we are the people. That's not what makes it happen. He is God is what makes it happen. We are His people. That's what makes a difference. Not we the people. That's the United States of America. If you can't figure that's not messed up by now. We the people mess it up. God the Father straightens it out. Somebody hear what I'm saying? We the people mess it up. How many of y'all messed up in here at least once so far? How many of y'all got a hunch you might do it again? Husband, you need to get your hands up. Be preventive, okay? There you go. Say, honey, I told you in church I was going to mess up. I didn't take the trash out again. See what I'm saying? Watch this. You all know that, listen, we're not perfect, but Jesus Christ is perfect. No, you're not the most important thing in this church. Pastor, I hate to disappoint you. You're not the most important thing in this church. I want you to know that the lights aren't the most important thing in this church. Sticks, you ain't the most important thing in this church. It's not the band, it's not the drums, it's not the lights, it's not the bulletins, it's not the cool. I mean, y'all got some of the coolest metal work of any church I've ever been in. I mean, just absolutely extraordinary. I mean, the design, man, everything's cool, but guess what? Being cool ain't what it's about. There's one thing that's going to make it work, and it's the one thing that's been here for 10 years, a sold-out relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen. Come on.
And anything less than that is cheap.
That's right.
Anything less than that is cheap. So let me help you. I've been doing this a long time. Your pastor calls me a pioneer, which is code word for old dude. That's all that means. I've been hearing that a lot lately. You know, Ayers was pushing the box before we knew there was a box. Yeah, God called us to reach people in the latter part of the 20th century and into the 21st century. And we simply said this: how do we get the message out to Jesus? You all said, how do we get the message of Jesus out to Graves County? Now, I want this number to burn in your head. There's 27,000 unchurched people in Graves County. 27,000 people today go to hell if God calls the ball. Some of them are your friends. Some of them are your family. Some of them may be your husband or your wife or your son or your daughter or your nephew or your cousin or your next door neighbor or somebody that you work with. But 27,000 people in Graves County are without a connection to Jesus Christ. That's as we know of. And Pastor, we're being really lenient. We're not even counting the folks that sit in church that don't get it. And there's a lot of people that sit in church that don't get it. Guess what? They're going to stand before judgment and say, Lord, I'm a Baptist. And he's going to say, go to hell. And they're going to say, well, Lord, I was a Pentecostal. I jumped up and down in the name of Jesus. Go to hell. Well, Lord, because guess what? If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, where do you end up? Where do you end up? I know I'm too strong for some of you young people. Y'all used to being politically correct. I tell you about that too. It can go to hell too. It's time to get to the truth and tell the truth so people will be saved. Amen? And listen, if God will start a church in a horse barn, surely that church will tell the truth. Amen? And the truth is, you don't have to stink no more. Amen? And y'all realize this place smells different than it did before? Huh? Would you agree with me that in here before was horse exhaust? And what did God do? He took the horse exhaust out and brought in his praise and his riches. To me, that's the gospel. I was covered in sin, exhaust. And God removed that so we might live a full and abundant life. God's done that inside this facility. And so guess what God's done? He has expanded your outreach, right? Most important part in the building. Right there. That's the only thing you can't do. You can't save anybody. In every baptism that you see in this church, and thank God, Chad, tell me that number one more time just to excite me. 106 people who were dead in sin last year came to life in Jesus Christ and confessed their risen state in Jesus right here in the coolest watering trough in Kentucky. What do you think? Jesus is big on water. If you don't believe me, you all stand at the same moment this week that Moses did. Amen? Before Moses could really live on the other side of things, what did he have to do? He had to cross the water. See, Jesus has been big on water. If you haven't been baptized yet, I'm going to tell you to be baptized for this reason. Jesus told you to be baptized. Jesus told you to be baptized. I'm tired of hearing all this wimpy stuff, all these young pastors tell me, well, Pastor Ash, you know, baptism disturbs people. I'm like, man, sin disturbs people. It kills them. But you know what some churches do? They got this great illusion, which is a lie from devil, that the church, that you come to church to feel good. Now, how gross is that? How limiting is that? I mean, you can go to the club and feel good. Not the next morning, but at the moment. It's not about feeling good. It's about receiving a brand new life. It's about being brand new people. It's about being people that are headed to heaven. How many of y'all are a person headed to heaven?
Amen.
Ooh. How many of y'all are 100 proof Holy Ghost inside of you? If you receive Jesus, it's in there. It may not be leaking yet, but it is in there. Do you see how quiet everybody got? Chatted? Oh my gosh, he's going to talk about the Holy Spirit. It's already in you. It comes in the package. It's not like batteries. It comes in the main deal, all right? You are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's already in you. If you don't mind, tell your partner next to you, say, hey, it's in me. Go ahead, Tim. Oh, come on, that is so weak. Y'all are going to act like 9:30, not talk. Tell them, it's in me. And if it's not in you, I hope it gets in you today. Watch this. You have received grace. Your sins have been forgiven. You've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. There is nothing impossible in you. That is the absolute truth. There is nothing impossible in you. Now, what the devil will tell you in the morning is what you cannot do. He will try to limit you because he knows if you ever release the Jesus in you, the world changes. So what does the devil do? He regulates. What does God do? He releases. The devil regulates, and God what? Releases. Go with me to Luke chapter 4. We're going to stay in the main thing. Amen? As you cross the hallway, you got to stay in the main thing. You got to stay in the main thing. I'm going to give you a challenge. Next week, you're going to walk into a new facility. There's going to be a little ooh and ah, okay? So next week, you have permission to ooh and ah. One day of ooh and ah. You can go, oh, that's cool, like that, like that, like that. I really don't care, but I'm glad you like it, okay? And whatever you don't like, we don't care. All right? Amen?
Amen.
So, Pastor, you can blame it on me, okay? If they walk down the hallway, just say, hey, listen, I'm not saying to you this. This was Pastor Ayers. He doesn't care, and neither do I. Because this place is about reaching people for Jesus. Right. Amen? Yeah. Now listen, I'm telling y'all, you better listen to me heads up. I'm not here today just because I didn't have a place to preach. Okay? And Chad had mercy on me. I'm here today because guess what? I know what the devil will be up to. And the devil right now is trying to convince some of you all to be church people. Some of y'all got out of a stale church when you came here. Amen?
Amen.
But guess what you still got on you? Staleness. And see, now you got your building. You got you something to worship other than God. It's hard to worship a horse barn. I mean, really, true? I mean, Chad, did you walk around town going, man, I'll tell you what, man, we got a horse barn, man. God just really blessed us. And you didn't say that, did you? You didn't have the radio station come out to check out the horse barn, did you? Nah! Because it's like, we got a horse barn. Kind of like your first house. It's special to you, but everybody else is going, bless your heart. See what I'm saying? Y'all remember those days? My poor wife, she had to live in shacks. Listen, the government wouldn't let people live in. And I used to walk in, I said, look, it's got a bedroom. She goes, honey, it's got holes in the wall, so you don't have to use air conditioning. This place is awesome. It's environmentally in tune, which meant it was a shack. Makes sense? But guess what? Hey, don't worship that building. The building is only a place to release people to Jesus. And don't fall in love with it. Now, some of y'all, how many of y'all have been to church before you came here? That means you were in a church, you grew up in church. Okay, y'all be careful because what are you going to do? Brother, what did they teach you to do when you grew up in church? Worship the building.
Absolutely.
If you don't believe me, remember church. What did they talk about all the time? The church I grew up in, they didn't talk about Jesus. They didn't talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. They didn't talk about the endless possibilities that there are in Christ. They talked about the building. The walls are dirty. It'd make them mad. They talked about expanding. They'd have these business meetings and get in long, drawn-out fights over what? The building, because they'd never read the Bible. They thought God said they got the Bible confused with that Field of Dreams movie. See, most churches think they're Kevin Costner. And they've walked out in the field somewhere, and God said, if you build it, they'll come. And many went and built it, and nobody came. Because they didn't hear what God said. God said, go ye therefore and tell them. He didn't say, build it. He said, be it. Ooh. He didn't say build it. He said be it. What do we need to be? Let's talk about what Jesus did for a minute. Amen. How many of y'all want to talk about what Jesus did? Y'all going to go across the hall and fill a place up with the power of God. Amen. Jesus in 16th verse, chapter 4, Gospel of Luke, he went to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. Kind of reminds me of Chad. Chad said, Lord, I want you to do a great work where I've been brought up. Now, it takes God to be a prophet in your hometown. Amen. I mean, my wife's got nursing licenses for several states because she knew I was called into ministry, and she never expected a long stay anywhere. She looked at me when we got engaged. I said, honey, now listen, God's called me into ministry. I got a big mouth, and I tell it like it is, and we're probably going to be fired a lot. We're going to be moving a lot. Listen, there's no telling where we could live in the world. I'm not talking about in the United States. I'm talking in the world. I want to be surrendered to God. And God left me in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And you know why God said, I need a redneck with a purpose. I said, God, here I am. Send me. Amen? Amen. And then God looked at Mayfield and he said, I need a redhead with a purpose. And Chad said, hey, Lord, here I am. Send me. Amen. Here I am, Lord. Send me. But now he got to send you. You know what I'm talking about, little brother? He got to send you, and he got to send you, girl, and he got to send you, brother, and he got to send you. You know what I mean? He got to send all of us. Amen? And are y'all going to be willing to go? Right here in your hometown. Now listen, I'm all cool. Listen, I have feelings for Kenya and Bangladesh and all these places. I know all you young people, well, I'm concerned about global missions. Well, good. Let's get concerned about Murray State first, and then you can reach the world. Let's get concerned about your next door neighbor, and then you can tell me your heart for global ministry. Because you know what I found? If you let God be strong here, he'll be strong everywhere. Chad, I'm going to blow you away. In 23 years, I've never said one thing about foreign missions. Now, Elizabeth, I hadn't said one word in 23 years. We don't have a missions program because I don't believe in them. I don't believe in missions. I believe in the mission. And I believe it's already global, so you don't have to spend millions of dollars to make it that way. We have churches in other countries now because guess what? We reached Bowling Green, Kentucky, and we've gone from Bowling Green to everywhere. But guess what you got to do first? You got to reach Bowling Green. And we don't send white people to other countries. We actually find pastors in those other countries that speak their languages and know their culture. And we empower with them the Spirit of God so they can actually baptize people. And not have somebody there for 20 years that doesn't understand what's going on. You know what I mean? I don't speak Spanish like my Costa Rican pastor does. Because he grew up there. He was willing to minister where he brought up. I minister most effectively in Kentucky. Why? I speak Kentuckian. Which is a variation of English. Amen? Amen. Isn't that right, brother? I mean, you go to Boston, man, you got to work on those people. That parking cars and the ABBA. And I'm saying, what's up, y'all? Y'all need to get it going on. And they don't, man, bless their hearts, they don't know how to eat up there. Have y'all noticed how people on the coast are unhappy? On both coasts, California people all. On the East Coast, they're just, they don't fry nothing. Man, if they ate a little fried food, they'd all be blessed by the Lord. Amen. I said, if y'all fry that chicken instead of posted, you'd smile. Clog your arteries to the glory of God. Amen. They said, y'all fry stuff. I said, we fry everything. Turtle, rattlesnake. I said, if you can cut it up and put some batter on it, we'll throw it in a deep fryer and eat it. But you know what? God tells us to be where we are, where we're brought up. You all have been brought up in Graves County to tell 27,000 people that Jesus Christ could change their lives forever. Do not lose that mission. Do not lose that mission. And on the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue, as was his custom. Now, I want to tell you something, man, you got to be. All right, you ready? I hope you like this. I'm not asking you to be successful because I think that's overblown and I really don't know what that is. People ask me, they said, are you a successful pastor? I said, I don't know. I'm not at the end. And I said, don't worry about being successful. You know, if you were to ask Elizabeth, is he a successful husband? All she can say is, I've stayed. True. And it hadn't all been enjoyable, has it? I mean, most of it has, so don't you think? No, but it ain't all been enjoyable. How many of y'all, every moment of your marriage has been enjoyable? Tell the truth. Mine hadn't. Yours hadn't. Let me tell you what our marriage has been. Faithful. And see, that's a word we don't know nothing about anymore. Faithful. God's calling this church to be, guess what? Faithful. So I want to give you three things you got to have as you go across the hallway. Number one, it's about Jesus. Give these back to me. It's about who?
Jesus.
It's about who?
Jesus.
Whose name?
Jesus.
Who's the Lord?
Jesus.
Whose spirit?
Jesus.
Whose church?
Jesus.
Whose baptism?
Jesus.
Oh, y'all got his name. Now I pray you receive his spirit. All right, listen, one thing I want you to be, man, you got to be faithful. Just faithful. But Jesus was showing up to synagogue. He's a good Jewish boy. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's there. It's Sabbath. Where's he? He's at the synagogue. On Sunday, where do you need to be?
Church.
Why? Well, you need to be faithful. It's about being faithful. And don't ever say this. You say this, Chad, I'll smack you in the name of Jesus. This is the poorest thing I've ever heard in my life. People come out of church saying, well, I don't know if I'm going to go to his house anymore. I didn't get my cup full. God don't care about your cup. A long time ago, he said, your cup stinketh. And I have taken your cup away and given you mine. That's called salvation, amen?
Right.
You ain't got a cup no more.
Right.
We don't drink out of your cup. We drink out of whose cup?
Yes.
Can you drink from this cup? And guess what his house said? Yes, sir, Lord. We can see a church in a horse barn. You can't do that without drinking holy wine. True? You got to be intoxicated by God to see a church in a horse barn. Amen? I mean, I've been up there to Lexington. I ain't never seen no church in no horse barn up there. But y'all looked at a horse barn, and you listened to the Lord and saw a what? Church, and you all been willing to be faithful. Listen, I've told everybody all over creation about y'all. Seriously. Y'all didn't know, but I go everywhere. For some reason, people invite me to come see them. They don't usually invite me back, but they invite me to come see them. And I told them, I said, man, don't ever doubt what God can do. It's about Jesus. That's the first thing. It's always going to be about Jesus. It's not about the building. It's not about radio stations. It's not about Chad. It's not about organization. You got to have all that, but it's about who?
Jesus.
Don't ever let Jesus get behind this church. He is the head of this church. It's not we got to do this and then honor Jesus. It's we got to honor Jesus and we might do this. See what I'm saying? Keep Jesus lead. Number two, be faithful. Be faithful. Jesus was faithful. He was faithful to what God had assigned him to. Listen, I'm going to blow y'all away. How many of y'all realize you got to pay for the building? Six of you. Good. Usually that's about how many realize that. All right. Now listen, there comes a time y'all been hanging out for 10 years. A lot of y'all been following Jesus for about 5 years. There comes a period of time. After between 5 and 10 years, you got to grow up. You got to grow up. I mean, after a while, you got to grow up. If you're not growing up, you need to check what you got. Eventually, you got to grow up. How many of y'all realize you're going to get old no matter what you do? How many of y'all ladies have seen that? You can cream it, pull it back, stretch it out, iron it, but it's coming down, baby. It's coming down. Amen? Huh? Amen? I mean, my wife, bless her heart, I got nervous. I got so nervous when they was looking for them chemical weapons. You know, the nation was on a hunt for those chemical weapons back when 9/11 happened. I said, honey, you need to lock your bathroom up. I said, baby, we get one of them feds in here, they'll find the chemical weapons of mass destruction over there. It scares me. She go in the bathroom, and I just know one day it's going to blow up in there. She going to mix a stretcher with a curler, and boom, all right. Hey, we all do that. Listen, I look in the mirror, and here's what I want you to know. You're going to change no matter what, amen? Hadn't you changed, brother? I've changed. This is a cool kind of life. I always wondered, y'all ever see them old men, man? They'd be out in the yard. The boxers, colored socks on, wingtips. They out there mowing the yard. Man, they happy. They're just out there. And that may be you yesterday. Hallelujah. I'm with you, brother. And I walked out there with my dress socks on the other day to the mailbox, just in my t-shirt. Didn't have my boxers on, but have just my gym shorts on, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, self, this is a cool thing. You know what I'm saying to the world? I don't care what you think. I'm living in total freedom. You two, I'd have cared what people thought, how I look going to the mailbox. Now I don't. I've been married so long, I'm going to stay there. My kids are gone, which is a pleasure unto my life. And in my house, they ain't coming back. Okay? You know, and it's a sweet spot. I said, Lord, this is pretty cool. Then I realized, you know what? You just got to be faithful to where you are. And so I'm going to encourage y'all to be faithful. Listen, I'm going to tell y'all to do something to pay off the whole building. Okay, y'all ready? It's crazy. This has been proven. A couple years ago, we had to build a building. I hate buildings. I mean, I am the pastor of, I just don't like buildings because people tend to worship them. They get crazy about buildings. I don't know. Church people, Baptists are horrible about buildings. I mean, they just get all, you know, oh, Lord, I have a building. I said, well, you ain't got any people in this building. What do you think a building's going to do? You're just going to be more empty seats than you have now. Well, if we build, they'll come. I said, no, they won't. They go, well, what's our problem? You, Pastor. Because you ain't got no excitement. You ain't got no passion. It ain't about Jesus. Come on. And when it's about Jesus, people want to come. Now, listen, y'all can pay off this building if you just do one thing. You ready? I don't ever talk about money. Obama talks about money. Jesus talks about tithing. Y'all need to tithe. And if you're not tithing, guess what you need to do? Tithe. Y'all know how to figure a tithe? It's a tenth. Let me help you. If you make a dollar, you give a dime. No deductions. No loopholes. I mean, this is so crazy, brother. Guess what? If we did this in this nation, we wouldn't have a debt. But then a bunch of accountants would lose their jobs. Because, I mean, I could figure out on my W-2, a tenth, all right? There would be a tax form. It'd just be like real. It would just like actually work. That's the way it works in the church. Amen? Right. Well, I got tired of raising money in the church. I just never was good at it. I mean, I didn't like, you know, going through all that hoopla. I hated red thermometers, you know, for some reason. I don't know why people think that makes them raise money, because I'd go in church and I'd go, that's goofy. If I was lost, what are they, is that the temperature of the hell or what's going on here, all right? I mean, I never understood all this jazz, Chad. So when we got ready to build a building, we had to build a building. I had some people, some of our leadership came in and said, Pastor, we got kids in closets. And I said, yeah, but they're learning. They said, we need a building. I said, all right. So I went to the parking lot. I was walking through the parking lot of our church. And you know what? We had Hummers there. Jaguars. We had a half a Harley Davidson motorcycle dealership sitting on the side of the parking lot. By the time I got in the church, we'd done built two buildings. So I just went to the pulpit and I said, guys, I got a vision. One of two things. We can either be faithful and tithe, or we can sell all these vehicles and build any building you all want to. I'm going to blow y'all away. We had to build a facility. It cost several million dollars. And it cost about $10.5 million. And we went into that facility, and 30 days later, it was absolutely paid off on one thing. Hold on. Watch. Yeah, I appreciate you doing that. I just want you to know how it was paid off. Tithe. That's it. See, here's what I want to blow you all away. This is what blew me away. We had a radical campaign. We just did what the Bible said. We didn't try to get Jerry Clyer back from the dead to have a big dinner to shake everybody down for some money. We didn't go see John Maxwell enjoy ministry strategy. We didn't tell people to, you know, they needed to give a special, you know, high tie rye offering. We just said, why don't we do this? Tithe. It's called being what? Faithful. Y'all got to be faithful, amen? Right. Some of you say, well, I ain't never tithe. Really? Mm-hmm. Yep. Hey, listen, for you folks who hang around church and don't tithe, how do you think that's really going to be on judgment? Just because your sins are forgiven don't mean you don't stand accountable for what God's given to you. So that's where you've been lied to, too. I mean, can you really going to stand before the Lord God Almighty, who forgave you of all your stinking sins, who's blessed your life immensely, who's given you every ability you have, and you're going to say, Lord, I'll tell you what, you just weren't worth as much as my clothes and my food and my house and my cars and my entertainment, Lord, you just weren't worth that much to me. Because that's what you're really saying. I've always tithed, even when I didn't want to. Any of y'all not wanted to tithe before? But my wife calls me to faithfulness. She's got this nagging gift of faithfulness. I went to Hillview Heights Church. Man, I didn't have no money. We were broke. We had to go to Hillview Heights Church, and I figured out the math, and I looked at my wife. I said, we can't go. We can't pay our bills. She said, is the Lord calling you? I said, he may be, but he ain't paying me, is what I'm trying to tell you, honey. He's calling, but he ain't writing no checks. She said, you got to be faithful. I said, listen, I'll be faithful rich. She said, you got to go. And I said, honey, it's not going to match up. So we went, and it didn't match up. And so finally I told him, I said, honey, let me tell you what we need to do. We need to do this. Now listen, this tithe thing, if you really think about it, with my experience, my education, what I'm giving the church, I'm giving more than a tithe. I thought I had her. She looked at me and she said, you're making very little. But God said, tithe that very little. Now let me show you something. I'm going to blow you away. She made me do it. I said, we're going to go broke. She said, we might. But we're going to go broke being obedient. You know what I found? You can't go broke being obedient. Have y'all found this? Most poor people I know don't work. Shazam! I know it bothers some of you, but I just found this. They don't work. They come in my office, man, and I always get them all the time. They go, oh, Rev, I can't find no job. I say, really? Can you explain to me how 30 million Hispanic people have come across the Rio Grande and they can't even speak English and they found a job and you can't find one? And they go, what do you mean? I said, you don't want one. I said, you'd have a job today if the government wasn't writing you a check. Because if it came down to dying this Friday or blowing leaves, you'd be out there with two leaf blowers. But I said, we've created for you false salvation in this nation. And so you are willing to step away from who you are to be imprisoned by who they want you to be. And that's not God. I'm going to encourage you to tithe. Is that okay, Pastor? And listen, because that's what the Bible tells you to do. The Bible tells you to receive Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins, and it tells you to tithe. You say, Pastor, I only make $100 a week. That's 10 bucks. You blow that on cigarettes and pizza. Now look, you're being faithful and getting healthier at the same time. What do you think about that? Huh? Now you ain't got to have cancer or be obese. I mean, God's got a plan. Amen? If you'll tithe what he gives you, I promise you. Now listen, I'm going to give you one of these TBN speeches. You know, people on that religious TV. Oh, I got faithful to the Lord and I went to the mailbox and pulled out a $50,000 check. That ain't never happened to me. I said, Lord, I need some money. And he said, good, here's a job. Isn't that amazing? I asked the Lord if he'd take care of me and he'd give me extra work. I wanted to get one of them $50,000 checks, you know what I mean? Like them big-haired preachers get, amen? Not me, Chad. Watch this. Our church, we went to buy some land. You know, I hear all these churches, man, we prayed to God, and we had to pay $1,000 for 100 acres, you know? We prayed to God, and I had to pay three times the estimated value. But you know what? We paid it. Because you know what? We said, God, you'll be faithful no matter what they want to do. Here's a lady, she's ribbing us off. She's Baptist. And I just looked at her and I said, ma'am, I'm going to tell you one thing. You open that big mouth of yours at an association meeting, I'm going to tell everybody what a swindler you are. I said, I don't want to hear any more about your missions. Because I said, you're willing to overcharge a church three times the estimated value. I ain't worried about her. She's dead. Don't mess with God.
Amen. Come on.
I mean, we paid three times the value, but she can't use it now. She's dead. She died at 55. You know why? After a while, God gets tired of listening to people that say they follow him and act like that. Whoa, y'all don't like that, do you? Sound like a turkey there, didn't I? Huh? Keep Jesus the main thing. Be what?
Faithful.
Be what?
Faithful.
You ready? Here's the third thing I want y'all to do. Keep on doing. You ready? Welcome, everybody. Y'all keep welcoming everybody. Amen. I'm so glad y'all are a high-definition church. You know what I mean? Y'all a high-definition church. Y'all love everybody, every color, every ethnic group. Y'all look like the church I pastor. Our church a high-definition. I had one of the sisters in our church. We've been a black-white church when we started out with no big deal to us. And so I had one of the sisters. We had a couple that they were two different colors married. You know what I mean? Well, she looked and she came down to me and she said, well, Pastor. I said, yeah, sister. She said, I was going to see how you was going to handle that. I said, Liz, let me help you. I said, you need to wake up. You need to ask God to heal your mind. I know when you grew up, we grew up at the same time, and all you had was a black and white TV. And that's the only way you see the world. Sad that you would be that limited. I said, baby, we in high definition today. We got colors nobody's ever seen. This ain't about black and white. It's about people of God. It's about all people of God. Amen? So three things, Pastor, you got to keep doing. Number one, it's all about Jesus. Number two, I'm going to be faithful to what Jesus says be faithful to. And number three, I'm going to keep throwing the doors open in this church to everybody, anybody, wherever, in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen? Thank you all for being. Thank you all for being a church. It's a big crayon box. How many of you old people, you old if you remember this. How many of y'all remember when you went to school, if you had the 64 box of Crayolas, you was the man. Sharpener in the back, amen? You had colors like magenta and French vanilla almond. Your crayon box looked like Baskin Robbins. I was limited. I had black, white, red, orange, green, yellow. But Elizabeth, you didn't have 64 box? Today at this church, I have discovered my wife's problem. She did not have a 64 cradle box. Felt left out. Yeah, watch this. God's doing it all the time. Amen. Well, Jesus stood up and he said, this is what I'm about. And they handed him the scroll of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. And it was handed to him. He unrolled it and he found the place where it is written. I want you to hear this and we're going to leave on this. Amen. Y'all going to keep those three things as three things? It's all about Jesus. You got to be faithful. If you don't tithe, I'm asking you to tithe. Why? Not so the building will be paid off, but so you'll get obedient. Make sense? I'm asking you, forget about your cup. Amen. Now, Pastor, the reason I'm bringing that up, I'm afraid some people are going to try to pick up a cup next week. Because it's going to be scrambles next week anyway. Because all y'all are going to be figuring out, marking your territory where you're going to sit. True? Men be over there scraping like a big buck, letting us our seats over here. Isn't it crazy? Yeah, we do that the first of the year. We mess with everybody the first year in our church just because we like to keep people ticked off all the time. And we put all the chairs in a circle. And they'll come in going, some of our older folks go, you know, I don't like it when you put your chairs in a circle. I said, you've been here for 20 years. When have I ever come to you and say, hey, brother, what do you like? He said, I tell you one thing I don't like either, that little smart mouth you got all the time. You see, but you got to keep reminding people it's not about what? It's not about us. It's about getting Jesus out. It's about being faithful to what Jesus called us to. And it's about welcoming everybody in the name of Jesus. Man, y'all do those three things, guess what? I ain't even worried about it. Watch this. If y'all tithe your next building, guess what sign you can put out front? Funded by God. Financed by God. Guess what his interest rate is? Zero. Do you know how ticked off the bank was when we came to the bank? 30 days after, here's a check. I like to mess with people, so. You know what I'm saying? He goes, this pays it off. I went, yeah. I said, tithes. That's a tithe. Paid off. I said, yeah. I said, yeah, you ain't making no money. Tithe. Boom. You think the bank wants you to pay his building off? I know I got a banker in here. Nope. You think Visa wants you to pay your card off? Nope. You know why Visa exists? Because we are dumb. You notice why? How many of y'all here remember 1950s? How many of y'all were alive in 1950? I know you were a mere child in the 50s, right? Yeah. All right. Do you remember people carrying credit cards around in 1950? No, because people weren't stupid enough to do that in 1950. Nobody would pay 19% for a Big Mac in 1950. See, we had to get people thinking about themselves before we could create the economy that we created. We've made it all about us, and it's all about Jesus. And Jesus said, here's what I've come to do. Listen to the words of the Lord and let them go down the hallway into a new building, out the doors into Graves County, telling 27,000 people this good news. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus says, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. We good news people, amen? Continue to be good news people. I love this place. Elizabeth walked in. She'd never been here with me. I've been telling her about the Horse Barn Church for a year. I said, Elizabeth, you wouldn't believe it. I mean, she's seen me preach all over the world, and I came back, and she goes, man, this church has really gotten to you. I said, it's unreal what God's doing. I said, the people are excited. I said, Chad. I said, you remember Chad? I mean, like, he had, like, Baptist Press underwear. Y'all don't understand how Baptist Chad was. He had little SBC logos on him. He was going to get a tattoo of the Southern Baptist cross on his arm. I mean, he was tatted in. But man, let me tell you what happened, Chad. The Spirit of the Lord got on you. And you wanted to preach good news to Grave County. And guess what? You couldn't find a box to hold the good news. Couldn't find a box in the city to hold the good news. So God said it don't belong in a box. It's got to go to the barn. And from the barn, the good news got preached out, and now there's a large facility, but may it be a bigger box of good news. That's all y'all doing, moving into a bigger box of good news. Amen. I'm glad the radio station's showing up, because when they interview you, Chad, what y'all do is for good news. Who y'all preaching to? Everybody. I mean, y'all, tell them everybody. That's what I love about y'all's church. Some of y'all raised some hell at one time in your lives in here. Amen. I know I'm not supposed to say that because we still got church people here and they think I'm cussing. Let me help you. If I cuss, you will know it. I'm good at it. No, you did. You raised Cain. Your lives were busted. You were in poverty. And then all of a sudden, there was a Jesus. There was a Spirit. There was a power that said, good news. You don't have to stay there. That's what his house is about, to proclaim good news. I love it every Sunday. I see somebody messed up get straightened up every Sunday. I hear the waters move every Sunday. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner. You ain't got to stay there. You ain't got to be miserable no more. That building right there, may it continue to be a chain cutter. May you hear it on Sunday. May you hear the change of sin hit that concrete floor and the newness of life touch people's feet. I've come, Jesus said, to help people see and sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. It's a place of freedom. Now, guess what? I'm not free to do what I want to do anymore. I'm empowered now to do what God allows me to do. That's where the freedom is. At Hillview in the beginning days, we weren't too smart, and we said, come as you are. But we still say, come as you are. And we say, in the name of Jesus, don't stay that way. Amen? Because we got a group of people that started following Jesus, and they said, hey, Jesus loves me as I am. I said, nah. I said, but he doesn't love you as you were, because he's changed who you were to who he is. Now live accordingly. Amen? See how you got to grow up? Amen? How many of y'all realize you grew up, whether you wanted to or not? Yeah, eventually you got married. And you had bills to pay. Then eventually God really does something to you. He gives you something that looks like you. It's called a child. And then if you really acted up, he gives you one that acts just like you. And you scream mercy upon him. Amen? You say, Lord, where did he get this? And God goes, really? I ask my wife all the time, I say, how come my son says something like that? And she goes, really? Really? You don't know where he gets that. You don't know where your daughter gets the way she is. Yeah, I do. She's like her daddy. We need to be like our daddy, who art in heaven. So may we have good news. May we proclaim freedom to the prisoner. May we help people see what they can't see. May the Spirit of the Lord be upon us, because when it is, all things become possible. We have one mission: to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Yes. The Lord's favor is on this place. Now, church, I love you. Don't blow it. Don't worry about paying off the building. How do you pay off the building? There you go. Gets paid off when it gets paid off. If you're tithing, the building will be paid off. So no worries. Tithe. Now, if you're not tithing, you need to pray this. Lord, I'm a part of the unfaithfulness of this church. And help me repent of that and get better. Pretty cool, isn't it? I didn't used to preach about money, because people get all tore up about it, you know, and they get mad. And I already had them mad about everything else. And then finally, the Lord convicted me, and he said, well, Here's the problem. You're not telling them what I told you. I said, ooh, that's right, Lord. You called me to be a biblical preacher, not a people pleaser. And guess what? Started teaching people how to tithe, and I've just been amazed at what's happened to their lives. You know, we got young people in our church that are doing things that... And it's really cool because you can really see the difference between believers and non-believers. And my son's been married for a year. He's way ahead of where people who've been married for 10 years. I said, man, how do you do that? He said, I tithe, Dad. I'm a tither. I'm faithful. I've always been faithful all my life. I said, what do you do? He said, man, it's a great way to just tell people. He said, you know me. He's nuts and bolts practical, okay? Ain't no shine and show to him. It's the way it is. People ask me, they say, Blake, how you? He said, listen, the Lord gave me an opportunity because I believe in the Lord. And he said, and if you don't tithe, you don't fully believe in him.
That's right. Come on.
Period. That's the way my son is. He's just point blank. There he is. Boom. He said, you either are a believer or you're not a believer. He said, there's no such thing as a kind of believer. He said, kind of believers are kind of going to heaven, and that means you're living in hell.
Come on.
You know how excited I am to hear somebody 24 years old actually make sense? You're talking about a rare gem. Yeah. Listen, we ought to be an example of the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. He's going to do it in your church. He's doing it in your church. He's been doing it for 10 years, but he's got a lot more decades to go. I thank you all for being faithful. I thank you for being good news. Please do not fall in love with the building. If you just keep preaching good news, you're going to need, there'll be some other buildings along the way. Amen. This is just the next step. Hallelujah. Amen. And who knows what God's going to do here. How many of y'all sold out to reaching 27,000 people, telling them the good news of Jesus? Amen. Cool. About 7 of you. That's great. That's great. Hey, I'm cool with that. Hey, 11 originally were faithful. There was 12, but one was a joke. His name was Judas. He was worried about getting his cup filled, and he got his head cut off. Don't mess with God. You can mess with each other, but you better not mess with God. Amen? Folks, it's that true. It's just that point blank. You know, I could sit here and give you some preacher sunshiny stuff, but I'm over that. I don't know if you all have noticed this lately, but if you've been watching the news, we're going to hell really fast. I was here a year ago, preached to your revival, and I warned you how quick things were chasing. You know, they're spinning, and it's gone quicker than I thought it was. And it's not Obama's fault. Don't blame it on Obama. Don't be stupid. It's everybody's fault. Where are the faithful Christians? Lord, they're hid out in caves. They're scared to offend anybody. I had somebody in town said, Ayers, you can't say that. That Muslim will be offended. I said, tell that Muslim to step up here. I'll whip him in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and baptize him afterwards. I ain't scared of a Muslim. I ain't scared of a Buddhist. I'm not scared of a Hindu. I'm not here to make enemies with them, but I'm going to share my good news. And if they're offended, guess what? So what? They don't worry about offending me. Tell the truth. In love. Don't be obnoxious. Just in love. I follow Jesus. You follow Jesus? Amen. I mean, some of y'all are UK fans. How many UK fans we got here? I mean, you UK fans. Do you avail fans offend you? Y'all don't shut up talk. Yeah, they do, amen. But that don't keep you from being a UK fan, does it? I mean, your pastor, he was on the front altar when they won the national championship. I bet y'all hadn't heard anything about UK basketball this past season. You forgot all about it, didn't you, Chad? Amen, yeah. You see, when we're on the cross, people ain't talking. It's only in the resurrection they start mouthing. I told my daughter, I said, how about that championship team y'all got up there in Lexington? She said, Dad, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Y'all got beat by a cigarette company, didn't you, first round? Robert Morris or something like that, what was it? Yeah, yeah. No, it is a school. It's like Campbellsville. What's this? Y'all ready to let the good news be known?
Yes.
Y'all are. Hey, let me tell you, listen. I know we got to quit. Please, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, receive him today. Go into that new building saved. Amen.
Amen.
If you haven't been baptized,
Chad, y'all gonna baptize people next week, new building, aren't you? Absolutely. That's the greatest thing that could happen is take this. By the way, I've deemed this the coolest watering trough in America. Elizabeth, you ever seen such a baptistry in your life? It's a hot rod baptistry. I mean, I love it. But I sent another pastor to call y'all to see if y'all would manufacture one of these. Not free either. I told him, I said, they're going to charge you a lot of money, but it'll be the coolest baptistry you ever seen. Yeah, because you know what? 106 people went through these waters. Only God can do that. If you haven't been baptized, you need to get baptized. Why? Faithful. Thank you. Man, you get it. What's your name?
Michael.
That's why you get it. Michael. You got the name of an angel. Are you married?
Yes.
You need to tell your wife that you are married to a guy that has the name of an angel.
I don't think she'll believe me.
But it's the truth. I tell Elizabeth that my name in Hebrew means crowned one. She said, I'm fixing to put a new meaning to that. I said, yes, ma'am. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know, have a relationship with Jesus Christ today, you need to get saved. You say, well, what does it take for me to get saved? You got to realize you're a sinner. How many of y'all realize we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Every one of us sinned. Even you righteous people, you've sinned. You say, well, I'm pretty good. There's more sin than just drinking, smoking, and doing. And by the way, the secret's out. Everybody knows that Baptists do not drink in public. But they've been to Kentucky Lake. Time for us to get real, guys. Amen. Listen. Hey, you kids, aren't you all tired of seeing all this lying that goes on? Yeah. Tell me the truth. Thank you, honey. Aren't you? Yeah. It's time to get real. Jesus Christ is Lord. His forgiveness is a reality. His cross changes lives. He will meet you where you are, save you in that spot, so you do not have to stay there, and you're going to end up in heaven. So let's have church. Amen. It's time to have church. That's either real or not real. And I'm telling you, it is real. I get asked this a lot. I said, Pastor, how do you know you're going to heaven? Jesus said so.
Amen.
Amen. That's it? How many of y'all got Jesus said so stamped on your forehead?
Amen.
I do. When I stand before heaven, if Jesus asks me, he says, why should I let you in here? I said, you said you would. Because if he starts going through my list, I'm running. How many of y'all got a list you don't want him to mention? So when I was a young person, they used to scare me to death. They said that there was going to be a big screen. These preachers, there's going to be a big screen. Did you go through this, Chad? You know, they had that movie. What was that movie? Oh, gosh, it scared me for years. Thief in the Night. You know, we all just get hoovered up in the air and the ends out. And these preachers said, you got a big screen. And God's going to show everything you've done. I'm sitting there thinking, oh my God, help me, Lord. My mama don't need to see that stuff. Excuse me, isn't my poor mama going to see that? And finally I realized, man, God forgives me of my sin, forgets my sin, and what I'm going to see on my screen. Listen, when you throw my screen, it's solid red.
That's right, amen.
Come on.
You bring up the past, it's covered in the blood, amen. Now hold on. How many of y'all need to be able to say this? I love this line. It's old cliche, but it works. Every sinner's got a past, and every saint's got a future.
Amen.
And so let's quit looking at our past, and let's stay anchored to our future.
Right.
This church has got a what? Future. You need to thank God.